morning. And I'm going to go through this verse by verse. Last time we began in Isaiah 6, and we went from verse 9 through verse 13. And I'd encourage you to go back and listen to the message titled, Go and Tell This People. That was the message we looked at last week. And this week, we're going to be looking at the holy seed in the leafless tree. The holy seed in the leafless tree. Now, we began here in Isaiah 6:13. The Lord had told Isaiah to go and preach to a people. They weren't going to hear him. Their heart was fat, and their ears were dull of hearing of the Holy One of Israel, and they were going to shut their eyes, and they weren't going to listen to a word he said. Too wise to listen to the word of God. And he said, go and preach this gospel to them anyway. And he said, I'm going to leave their lands desolate. I'm going to leave their houses desolate till there be a great forsaking in the land. And he says, but yet in it, verse 13, shall be a tenth. And it shall return and shall be eaten. And he says, as a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. The hope of glory for every believer, for the church of God, is Christ in you. We don't know God. We don't know our Savior. We don't even know our need of God or our need of a Savior until the Spirit of Christ takes up residence in our heart. And our hope of glory is His presence, His indwelling Spirit within us, knowing that He's in us and in our midst. He's constantly with us. And He's going to bring us to glory. We know that. Well, the Lord tells us here that it is for the good of His remnant. It is for the good of a people that He has chosen and given to Christ. And it is for the sake of Christ, the holy seed. And that people who are holy in that seed, that He's going to spare a remnant in the nation of Israel. He said this in another place in Isaiah. The Lord said, for my name's sake. This is why the Lord made this world. This is why the Lord overrules everything in this world. This is why the Lord predestinates everything that takes place in this world and moves everything right on track as it should go according to His will and purpose in this world is for His name's sake. It's really not for you, and it's really not for me. It's really not so you can have the things you think you want or you think you need in this life and consume it upon, heap it and heap it and heap it upon your lust to have whatever you want in this world. It's really not about you. It's about His name's sake. That's what it's about. And He says, for my name's sake, I'll defer mine anger from this people. And for my praise, I'll refrain for thee that I cut thee not off. You know the only reason that you haven't been cut off and I haven't been cut off? You know the only reason that God has deferred His anger upon this world in destroying this entire world? For His name's sake. For His name's sake. He has a people He's going to bring to behold His Son. And for His Son's sake, for His name's sake, for His glory, and because He's going to have that people behold His glory and glorify Him, He didn't wipe this world into nothing when Adam sinned and plunged the whole human race into spiritual depravity in the garden. He said that in the garden. He said in Genesis 3:15, because of the seed of woman, that's why I'm not destroying you right here, right now. You know who the only woman who ever had a child without knowing a man? The one who brought forth the seed of woman, Christ Jesus the Lord. And He said way back there then, this is the only reason for my name's sake that I'm deferring my anger. Oh, I'm going to pour out my anger, He said. I'm going to pour out my anger in Him as the substitute of a people. And I'm going to pour out my anger on a people who willfully reject me and disobey me. My anger is going to be poured out. But I'll defer it for my name's sake till I bring that people to behold my glory. Well, Isaiah was sent to preach this gospel to a people whose heart was fat with pride for the glory of man. And from their hearts to the Lord's house, throughout their streets and into strange countries, their rebellion spilled out and they became more hardened against the voice of the Lord and against His prophets. And they wouldn't repent. They would not turn. They would not believe the Lord. And the Lord asked, or the Lord told Isaiah they wouldn't. And Isaiah asked him, Lord, how long? And he said, I'll harden their hearts. Or he said, how long will they harden their hearts against thee? How long will your wrath be upon them? And he said, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. That great forsaking took place at Calvary when God in human flesh hung upon the cross and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That's the glory of His name and why He deferred His anger. He said, I'm gonna continue preaching this word. Have you preach this word. I'm going to leave this people alone till this great forsaking in my land, in this land. And it, when Christ hung on that cross and said, with the sin of His people upon Him, and said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But He says, in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and shall be eaten, or almost totally consumed itself. As a teal tree and as an oak whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Now this is a pretty simple illustration of a tree whose leaves have fallen off. You know, in the past couple of weeks you've watched what's happened. As the temperature got colder and as the winds have blown, the leaves just have fallen and fallen and fallen. And now these trees that once looked so green and vibrant just a few months ago, they look dead now, don't they? They just look dead. He said, this nation's going to be brought to the point where it looks like a leafless tree. And he said, I'm going to bring it to that point. I'm going to bring it to the point where there's no truth in it. There's no stance for truth. There's nobody that wants to hear my word preached. They're full of pride. They're full of hatred towards God. They don't care about anything about my word whatsoever. All they care about is the economy. They want to have an economy. A little with a righteous man is better than plenty with the wicked. There's a whole lot more than a good economy. And that's just an illustration. But this, he said, I'm going to leave this nation that way. And so, wind after wind, war after war, the leaves fell off of this tree called Israel until it became as if it looked like a barren, leafless tree. And the Lord, and it looked dead. It looked like there's no life there at all. But the Lord said, in it shall be a tent. In it shall be a tent. A tent that I've reserved. And in it shall be the holy seed. And the holy seed shall be the substance, the life thereof. There was a people that would hate God, they would rebel against God, but they're going to give birth to someone God chose before the foundation of the world. And God said, because a man must first be born of water, and then born of the Spirit, I'm not going to destroy, I'm going to defer mine anger off of that one that hates me and rebels against me, so my elect child can be born. And because He promised Abraham, and He said, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. He said, Abraham, of your stock, there's coming a seed. And because of that seed, in that seed, a people chosen by me out of all the people on the earth, out of every nation of the earth. Not all the people, but a people out of every nation. I have chosen to bless that people in thy seed. And because these children in the midst of, that Isaiah preached to, because they were these sons of Abraham, and because that seed would come from the stock, from the family tree of Abraham, God said, I deferred my anger. I'm going to leave a tent there so that that holy seed that's going to come out of this tree, my seed, my son, and all that holy seed that I've put in him, because of them, I'm going to spare some people from utterly destroying them. Now, that's why God didn't destroy this world in the very beginning. And that's why he didn't destroy this nation, this physical nation, Israel, when they rebelled against it. It's just one more example of why he didn't destroy it in the garden. And he shows us here with this nation. Now, let me show you this, because I don't want to move on further without you seeing this for yourself, so that if you have to accuse somebody of lying, you can accuse your own eyeballs. Because I'm going to show this to you in God's Word. Now, look to Genesis 22:18. I'm sorry. You look to Galatians 3. I'll read you Genesis 22:18 while you're on your way over there to Galatians. The Lord said to Abraham, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Now, Israel, the nation Israel, did not exist then. That nation didn't even exist yet. And he said, "In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed." Now turn to Galatians chapter 3. You're there, and look at verse 16. "Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not," the Lord didn't say, "and to seeds as of many." He wasn't talking about, "Abraham, I'm making this promise with you and all your children." He said, "I'm making this promise with you and with one, thy seed, which is Christ." Now, look down with me at Galatians 3:28. He said, "Your true sons and daughters are going to be a holy people made so by this holy seed. And they're going to form a nation which I've made, which is going to be above all the nations of the earth." It's not a nation that we know as national Israel, nor any more than it is England, or it is a people of Germany, or a people of America. He said it's going to be a people blessed in Christ out of all nations. Now look here what he says in Galatians 3:28. He says, "In Christ there is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's children." His true children. You mean, even though I'm not a Jew? Even though I'm not born of a natural descendant of Abraham, I'm Abraham's child? That's right. When he said, "In thy seed shall all nations of the earth be blessed," he wasn't talking about Israel. In Isaiah here, I have to lay this groundwork before we get into our message. I want you to see this. In Isaiah 1 and verse 9, Isaiah was preaching and he said, "Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah." He's referring to Lot, who was down in Sodom and Gomorrah. And the Lord told Abraham, he said, "If there's one man down there in that land that I've chosen and put in my son, Christ Jesus the Lord, then I will not pour out my wrath on that land." If there's one down there. And Isaiah said, and if he hadn't left us a remnant, just like he left Lot in Sodom, we'd be destroyed right now. Now let me ask you a question. Was Israel around when Lot was down there in Sodom? He wasn't. Israel wasn't even a nation yet. He was God's child because God chose him and put him in Christ. And the nation he's speaking of here, that he's forming for himself, that he's bringing, that his remnant in Israel is going to return to, is not a Mount Zion over there in Israel. It's Christ. Read Hebrews 12. We've not come to Mount Sinai, we've come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, to the city of God, where Christ sits, and to an innumerable company of angels, to just men made perfect. It's a spiritual kingdom. It's a spiritual heavenly land. It's a place where Christ dwells, where he'll be the light. There won't be any sun. There won't be any moon. He'll be the light thereof. This is, he says, they're going to return to me. this remnant. I'm going to bring them to me, he said. Look over in Isaiah 65:8. One more place. I have to show you this. This is Isaiah saying the same thing in another way. Isaiah 65:8. You take a cluster of grapes and it looks like it's bad. It looks like there's nothing good in it at all, and you're going to throw away the whole cluster of grapes because there's nothing good in it. But thus saith the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and one saith, destroy it not, for a blessing is in it, so will I do for my servant's sake, that I may not destroy them all. Now listen to this. And I will bring forth a seed out of Jacob. That's one seed now, not many. That's Christ. Out of Jacob, I'm going to bring forth one seed, and out of Judah, an inheritor of my mountains. That's his son, Christ the Lord. And mine elect shall inherit it. That's Christ the seed. That's this holy seed we're talking about. And then, now look here, now we come to plural. He said, I'm doing this for my servants' sakes, and my servants shall dwell there. This holy children that I put in him, in that holy seed. They're going to dwell there. They're going to dwell there. Now, Isaiah 7:1. All right. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. In chapter 7 here, in these 16 verses that we're going to try to go through, the Lord gives us an illustration of everything that he told Isaiah in chapter 6. It's interesting that after Isaiah saw the glory of Christ Jesus the Lord in Isaiah chapter 6, after the Lord told him, go now and tell this people that are going to harden their hearts against you, they're going to reject you, they're going to reject my word, they're going to reject my Redeemer. He said, but I'm going to save a people. I have a people reserved for me that I've put in my son. And because of him and for his sake and their sakes, I'm not going to destroy the whole cluster of grapes. I'm not going to destroy the tree's going to look dead, but there's going to be some life in it. And that life's going to be my son and the people I put in my son. Then it jumps from, that's the end of King Uzziah's life. And it skips King Jotham altogether and jumps to King Ahaz. And we don't have anything in the word here that Isaiah ever said, preached during King Jotham's day for 16 years. It jumps to King Ahaz. It does it on purpose because it begins with these words. It ends telling us that he was going to do that and reserve a tenth in it. And then it begins here and it says, and it came to pass in the days of Ahaz. Now, I'm not suggesting that this prophecy was totally fulfilled in the day of Ahaz. That's not what I'm saying. It was very much illustrated in King Ahaz's day, though. And it was illustrated using King Ahaz and Isaiah and a couple of enemy countries. Now, let's see what happened. 2 Chronicles 28:1. 2 Chronicles 28:1, if you'll look there with me. Something had already happened during King Ahaz's reign. And we need to look at it before we pick up here in this verse in Isaiah 7:1. It tells us a little bit about Ahaz, and it tells us what had taken place. 2 Chronicles 28:1. Ahaz was 20 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 16 years in Jerusalem. But he did not that which was right in the sight of the Lord, like David his father. For he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, and made molten images for Balaam. Moreover, he burnt incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, and he burnt his children in the fire. That's awful, isn't it? You think, that's terrible. That's the same thing folks do in our day when they proselyte their children to believe a God that can't save anybody. You might as well be burning them in the fire. Ain't no different. And he did after the abominations of the heathen whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. He sacrificed also burnt incense in the high places and on the hills and under every green tree. He's just the kind of person that the Lord told Isaiah, is not going to hear you, Isaiah. He won't hear a word you say. Wherefore, the Lord his God delivered him into the hand of the king of Syria. And they smote him and carried away a great multitude of them captives and brought them to Damascus. And he was also delivered into the hand of the king of Israel, who smote him with a great slaughter. For Pekah, the son of Remaliah, slew in Judah 120,000 in one day, which were all valiant men, because they had forsaken the Lord God of their fathers. And Zichri, a mighty man of Ephraim, slew Maaseiah, the king's son, and Azricam, the governor of the house, and Elkanah, that was next to the king. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. So, these two kings that we're dealing with in Isaiah 7:1, because Ahaz was an idolatrous king, because his heart was full of pride of self-made religion, ears dull of hearing of the Holy One of Israel, eyes heavy, he'd shut his eyes to the truth of God. Wherefore, just as the Lord told Isaiah he would do, the Lord his God delivered Ahaz into the hand of the king of Syria and the king of Israel, and began desolation, began to destroy him, just like the Lord had just told Isaiah he was going to do. And the desolation began on a smaller scale than what it will be. He only moved these enemy kings against King Ahaz and only killed 120,000 people in one day. That's all. It's going to be a much greater desolation than that, and a much greater desolation when he returns. But it says here, women, sons, and daughters were slain, and then in this desolation, 200,000 though, not everybody died. 200,000 women, men, and women, sons, and daughters were taken captive by Israel and carried to Samaria. A little remnant of folks were carried out of there by these captives, taken away, just like the Lord said he would do, just like the Lord said he was going to do on a grander scale. And having succeeded as they did in that first battle, the king of Syria and the king of Israel said, all right, let's go to Jerusalem now. If we did this well here, let's go to Jerusalem. We can do the same thing there. And so we pick up here in Isaiah 7:1, back there in our text. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Syria, and Pekah, the son of Remaliah, the same two kings, went up towards Jerusalem to war against it, but they couldn't prevail against it. Because the Lord God of glory, the sovereign God of glory, the same one that moved them to go up against Damascus in the first place, said, now let's just pause it right there. And he paused it. You got that, what's that thing we got now on the TV, DVR, where you can just pause it? The Lord God just paused it. He said, just stop them right there. They can't go any further. Now, Isaiah, I want to show you about these leaves on a tree. And he says this, verse 2. It was told the house of David, that is, King Ahaz and all his people, Judah. It was told them, saying, Syria is confederate with Ephraim. Now look here. Here's these leaves on a teal tree. That teal tree, the oak tree loses its leaves fast. That's the 10 and a half tribes of Israel. They were already done turned and coming up against Judah. Judah hadn't cast its leaves off just quite yet. Judah is like the teal tree. It holds its leaves a little longer. So here it is. And when it was told them, it says, and his heart was moved in the heart of his people as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Well, what happens when you've been watching that wind blow? What's happened when that cold wind's been blowing through these trees? The leaves just been falling off, hadn't they? Just been falling off. They heard about these two kings, and just like those leaves on those trees, their hearts just began to melt within them, fall off. They're falling away. Well, let's see Isaiah's gospel to an unbelieving people. The Lord said, they're going to fall away. I'm going to bring desolation. And immediately he started doing it to show Isaiah exactly what he's going to do. Now, Isaiah was sent to an unbelieving people. And the Lord said, go tell this people in the midst of desolation there shall be a tent, and it shall return, because the holy seed is the substance in the midst of them. Go tell them that. And he said, the Lord said, and you watch as you tell them. He said, their heart's going to be fat with pride and hatred for me, and they're going to shut their eyes, and they're going to turn away their ears, and they're not going to hear you. And I'm going to harden their heart, God said. Now look here. Isaiah 7:3. Then said the Lord unto Isaiah, Go forth now to meet Ahaz, thou and Sheer-Jazub thy son, at the end of the conduit of the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field, and say unto him, take heed and be quiet. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of Rezin with Syria and of the son of Remaliah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against thee, saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus saith the Lord God. Now listen, Ahaz, this is what God has said, and I'm trying to tell you what God has said. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, for the head of Syria is Damascus, and the head of Damascus is Rezin. And within 65 years, Ephraim's going to be completely broken, that it won't even be a people anymore. And the head of Ephraim is Samaria, and the head of Samaria is Remaliah's son. They're going to fall. All they are is smoking now. Where there's a lot of smoke, there's not much fire left. And he said they're just the last little tails of some smoking firebrands. Don't fear them. And he says here, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. Just as Isaiah was told to go and tell this people, the Lord sends Isaiah forth, and he goes forth and he tells Ahaz the gospel. He says, Ahaz, take heed. Take heed and be quiet. Sit still. Stop moving. Stop trying to find a way out. Stop trying to help yourself. Stop trying to save yourself. Stop trying to run here and there and make a confederacy with anybody that'll make a confederacy with you. Take heed and sit still, Ahaz. Fear not, neither be faint-hearted. Have you heard that the enemy is trying to come up against you? Has the enemy of righteousness gathered his troops to besiege you? Is your sin a troubling army to you? Does the fear of death weigh heavy on you? Hear ye indeed, Ahaz. See ye indeed, Ahaz. And be quiet. Be at peace. Don't fear what these men can do to you. Don't fear what these enemies can do to you. Do you see the law of God as an enemy of you right now, that you can't keep it? If you don't see it that way, you're in the delusion of thinking you can keep it, because you can't. But if you've been made to see it and to behold that you can't keep it, and it is a fearful enemy that you can't overcome, he says, fear not. Don't be faint-hearted. Be still. If you will not believe, you will continue to be tossed to and fro. You will continue to be faint-hearted. You will not be established. Trust the Lord, he said. Have you seen your sin and that you can't put it away? That as hard as you've tried to reform your life, as hard as you've tried to turn over a new leaf, all there is the same old rotten leaf on the other side? He says, then be quiet and be still and watch what the Lord will do. See what the Lord is about to do. And you'll be established. You won't be tossed here and there. You won't be floating away with the cold wind of this evil, evil winter that's coming upon you like a leaf off of a tree. Wait and be still, he said. Verse 4, he says, fear not, neither be faint-hearted for the two tails of these smoking firebrands. Don't rejoice in what seems like power in this king Rezin and in Remaliah's son. Rejoice in the power of the Lord. Don't exalt your sin and your rebellion by looking to your flesh and thinking you can somehow with your own will and wisdom and doing overcome it. Because ourselves, we are the sin. We're exalting ourselves to think that. We're showing reverence to ourselves to think that. We've got to bow to the feet of Christ and show Him reverence. He said, don't give them reference. Don't give these evil ones that are coming upon you, don't give them reverence. Reverence your Lord. Look to Him alone. Now look, Isaiah 7:7. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever, the thoughts of His heart to all generations. But thus saith the Lord, these two evil kings have taken counsel against thee, but it shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, the Lord said. He that sitteth in the heaven shall laugh, the Lord shall have them in derision. It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass, the Lord said. Would the Lord have sent His prophet to Ahaz to declare that this was not coming to pass if the Lord had not intended to bring it to pass? It's true what Isaiah is telling him. Would the Lord have declared in His word that this was not coming to pass if the Lord had intended to destroy this nation with these two kings? Believing God is taking God at His word. God says, fear not, but trust Him. Would you be established? Would you be settled? Would you be at peace? Would you know that there is no enemy in this world, yours or the Lord's, that can overcome you, that can have any effect on you, that can do anything to you whatsoever, that can harm you whatsoever? Would you be established in that fact? The only way to be established is to trust the Lord's word on that. Look anywhere else. Look to yourself. Look to me as your preacher or your pastor. Look to one another to try to keep each other from the evil. Look to anybody in this world. Look to the counselors and the wise men of this world who are telling you ways that you can find peace and happiness and overcome in this world, and you shall not be established. Look to Him alone and trust Him alone. Believe Him alone and you shall be established. Now, in verse 10, moreover the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Ahaz was one of the most wicked kings ever to sit upon the throne of David in the house of Judah. He wore his idolatry with pride. He was proud of his religion. He filled Jerusalem with graven images to show everybody, even if they didn't want to, they had to look and behold just how religious Ahaz was. And he even burned his own son as a sacrifice to his God. And he did so pretending that he reverenced God. This to him was how you worship the true and living God. This to him was how you approach the true and living God. This was to him was believing God. And so he heard Isaiah indeed, but he didn't understand what he said. He saw indeed, but he didn't perceive what Isaiah said. His heart was fat with the pride of everything that he had done, that he had imagined how his God was, how his God would be pleased, how his God would be accepted. And when God's messenger came to him telling him the truth of how God accepts sinners, he would not heed God's word. And he said he did all of this in pretense of piety, saying, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. Knowing full well, all the while, that he had looked to the wisdom of his own mind and the strength of his own hand and gone to the king of Assyria and made a confederacy with the king of Assyria to protect him instead of trusting the Lord God. And in his mind, he thought, I have really trusted the Lord. The Lord opened up this way to go to King Assyria. The Lord opened this door for me to go to King Assyria and make a covenant with him to protect me. Isaiah said, Ahaz, be still. Stop doing. If we haven't stopped doing, if we haven't frozen in our tracks to behold our God and our King and our Savior, to see that we cannot help ourselves, that we cannot do anything to get ourselves, if we've looked somewhere else, we can pretend in our piety that we're trying our best not to tempt the Lord. But that's exactly what he had done. That's exactly what he did. And so Isaiah says, hear ye now, O house of David, verse 13. Is it a small thing for you to weary men? Is it a small thing for you to put on this pretense of piety before Isaiah, my prophet? Try to fool him, but will you weary my God also? Are you pretending to be righteous when in fact you think you're more wise than God? Are you refusing to ask God to give you assurance because your assurance is really in something you've already done? Those whose religion is like Ahaz are the very zealously religious people whom the Lord promised to destroy and save His chosen remnant from. Well, how can I be sure I can trust the Lord? How can I be sure I can believe on Him? What assurance is He going to give me that if I trust Him, He will not bring my enemies upon me, that He will save me from all my enemies, that He will preserve me and keep me, and I will be among that remnant who He promises to save? How can I have that assurance? He said it's going to be because there's a holy seed that's going to be the life in that dead-looking tree. Well, look here. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Here's where my word is all summed up and all fulfilled and sure and steadfast. Here's where it's all yes and amen. There are no maybes, ifs, ands, or buts about it. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Butter and honey shall he eat, that he may know to refuse the evil and choose the good. This was the Lord's sign. This was the assurance. This was the surety of God's promise to preserve and deliver His covenant people. Isaiah knew this surety. This substance, this life was in Isaiah. The Holy Spirit was in Isaiah. And he knew for certain, this is how I know, Ahaz. This is how I can tell you of assurance that if you will believe on the Lord, you shall be established. Because if you believe on Him, it's going to be because this life, this substance is in you, and that He has fulfilled all God's word on your behalf. And you can't be lost. Your enemies can't triumph over you. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. The Lord said there in Isaiah 6:13, the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Though this tree looks dead, from it is going to come a holy seed. And it's going to be the life thereof, of this remnant that I'm going to preserve and save. Listen to Luke 1:35. The angel answered and said unto Mary, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. This is the seed of woman. This is the seed promised to Abraham. This is, from a seed comes a root, doesn't it? This is the root out of that dry ground that was called the nation of Israel. This was the rod, the tender plant, the stem that came out of the stem of Jesse. The branch growing out of his roots. This is the the one that would come of the house of David, the King and the Savior promised that would sit upon the throne of David. David's, you know where David's throne was? It wasn't in Jerusalem. David's throne was in glory. He sat upon a throne in Jerusalem because his God sat upon his throne in glory. And the throne David worshipped at was the throne in glory. And that's where this king sits. And he rules, and there's no end to his government. There's no end to the increase of his spiritual nation. This is the substance and the life in what otherwise would appear as this leafless, lifeless, dead tree that God's going to destroy, called that physical nation of Israel. But not before he brought out his remnant. Not before he saved his people. Not before he preserved them from all their enemies. And the one he's going to do it in is this one whose name shall be called Emmanuel. Listen to Isaiah 8, verse 9. Look over there with me. This name, Emmanuel, this is his namesake. It means there's not the remotest possibility that God's chosen remnant shall go unsaved. Or that once he's brought you into saving union with him through faith, there's not one possibility that he'll leave you to yourself, that he'll forsake you from your enemies. Listen, associate yourself, Isaiah 8:9. Associate yourselves, O ye people, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Give ear, all ye of far countries. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Gird yourselves, and ye shall be broken in pieces. Now, I believe the lesson to learn there is, if you try to gird yourself, you shall be broken in pieces. Try to clothe yourself in the righteousness that only the Lord our righteousness can clothe you in, and you shall be broken in pieces. Attempt to fulfill the law of God that only the Lord our righteousness can fulfill, and you shall be broken in pieces. Attempt to come to God any other way but in this Emmanuel, and you've girded yourself, and you shall be broken in pieces. Associate yourself with others just like you. Join in a host of others that agree with you. There's safety in numbers, surely. God said you'll be broken in pieces. You'll be broken in pieces. He said, I don't care if the whole world gathers together against my son and against his people. Ye shall be broken in pieces. Read on. Verse 10. Take counsel together, and it shall come to nothing. Speak the word, and it shall not stand. For Emmanuel, God is with us. This is Isaiah preaching. This is Isaiah's message to a people in his day that wouldn't hear him, that grew dull of hearing. They said, wish he'd tell us something else. I'm tired of hearing about this one. He said, Ahaz, you want to know how you'll be saved? You want to know how to be established? Trust this one. Look away from yourself. Trust him. And he says, butter and honey shall he eat. These are things that are made and gathered during times of peace. Aren't they? When the wars of desolation had ceased, just for a little moment. You know what happened right before our Lord came to this earth? Same thing that happened right here when the enemies came up to Ahaz. He put it all on pause. Isaiah came forth just declaring him. Isaiah came forth just saying, let me tell you, Ahaz, about this one, about this Emmanuel. When it got time for him to come forth, the Lord stopped all the wars and all the desolation so that he could walk through this earth himself in the midst of his people and say, here I am. Here I am. Butter and honey is the grace on his lips, his gracious intercession for his people. The will of God would be his delight. The law of God would be the girdle of his loins. Because of truth and meekness and righteousness, Emmanuel, the right hand of God, came teaching mighty things. He came teaching that truth requires that mercy can only be given to the guilty when the guilty have been pardoned. When they have had their sins, when their sins have been paid for. In other words, God won't forgive you until somebody has borne the wrath of God and the justice of his law, the penalty of his law. And he said, but my son, he's born it on behalf of this remnant. He's the substance and the life thereof. And he's made them my holy children. And he came declaring that just like good butter and honey on the lips. Just sweet and good to taste. That's good news to the believer. He said he'll eat butter and honey. Are you besieged with sin? Has the enemy surrounded you? There's but one who can come to his chosen nation and free his people from the wrath of God, from sin, from death, and from hell. And this one is the one who knows to choose the good and refuse the evil. Ahaz was king in Judah. Are you king? Are you king? As sure as I'm sitting here today, there's somebody here that has exalted themselves to the throne of God, and they think they're king. Sure as I'm sitting here. There's somebody who, right here today, thinks they're king. They're ruling, and they have everything under control, and they know how their God will accept them, just like Ahaz did. Well, you may tell you what Ahaz did. When a king of Assyria made him this little bitty promise and said, you know what, Ahaz? I'll make a covenant with you. If you'll turn from your God to me, if you'll look to your wisdom, if you'll look to the strength of your hand, if you'll trust in your own way and make a confederacy with me, I'll deliver these kings into your hand. You know what this Emmanuel did? You know what this king did? The king of Babylon came to him. The devil himself came to him and showed him all the kingdoms of all the earth out of all time at one time and said, I'll give all these to you if you'll turn from God. If you won't trust him, if you'll look to me, I'll give you all of this. Ahaz chose the evil and said, I'll take that deal. This Emmanuel said, get behind me. I'm not serving you. You're serving me. You misunderstand how this thing's arranged. I'm not serving you. You're serving me. Well, let's look here. An immediate thing happened here. A sign immediately happened that the Lord gave to show proof that His promise is ordered and all things ensure, and that He would bring this to pass in Christ years and years and years down the road. Isaiah standing there talking to Ahaz and chapter 7, verse 16. He's told him all this, preached this gospel to him, and he's told him about this one that's going to come forth, that's going to be a one born of a virgin, this Son of God, Emmanuel, God with us, who's going to justify His people and declare God the justifier of His people. And he says, now, you see this boy I brought with me? You see this child of mine that I brought with me? Before this child right here shall grow up and know to refuse the evil and choose the good, the land that you abhor, Ahaz, shall be forsaken of both her kings. Within a very short while, you're going to see both these kings that you're so scared of right now, they're going to die. Before this child right here even gets old enough to know to choose the good and refuse the evil. And Ahaz said, what'd you say that boy's name was again, Isaiah? And he said, his name is Sher-Jezeb. What's that mean? The remnant shall return. His name means the remnant of God shall return. It means His chosen people shall not be destroyed. You want to see that it happens? Hey, you want to see it happen? Look with me. Look with me over it. 2 Chronicles 28:8. Look back over there. I meant to tell you, hold your place there. I'm sorry. Turn back over there with me. And the children of Israel carried away captive of their brethren 200,000 women, sons, and daughters, and took also away much spoil from them, and brought the spoil to Samaria. Now, when you get down to, I'm just going to throw this in, when you get down to verse 16, you're going to see it says, at that time, King Ahaz made a confederacy with king of Assyria. It's at this time right here that he had made that confederacy. It's at this time right here that Isaiah was sent forth to declare to Ahaz, this is not going to come to pass. How did the Lord say, you remember when the temple was destroyed and it was being rebuilt and Zerubbabel was the governor that was overseeing the project? And the Lord said to Zerubbabel, that temple's a picture of His church. It's a temple of His kingdom, of His people, just like this remnant is. And He said, you know how it's going to be saved? not by power, not by your strength, not by might, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to send forth somebody to preach this gospel, and I'm going to preserve my remnant that way. My son's going to come, the Word incarnate, and he's going to save them, the seed, the holy seed. He's going to save these children. And then I'm going to send forth people, and they're going to preach it, and the remnant's going to return to me, to him. They're going to come to Mount Zion, looking to him, trusting him. Now, he says, now look, Ahaz, this boy right here of mine, before he gets old enough, this is going to come to pass. Now look here, look how the Lord did it. Verse 9, but a prophet of the Lord was there. God put one of his messengers there, whose name was Oded. And he went out before the host that came to Samaria and said unto them, behold, because the Lord God of your fathers was wroth with Judah, he hath delivered them into your hand, and ye have slain them in a rage that reacheth up unto heaven. And now ye purpose to keep under the children of Judah and Jerusalem for bondwomen and bondmen and bondwomen unto you. But are there not with you, even with you, sins against the Lord your God? He's just preaching the gospel to them. He said, God's not with you. God's against Judah. That's the only reason he gave them into your hand. Sin's at your door. You're guilty. Now hear me, therefore, and deliver the captives again which you have taken captive of your brethren, for the fierce wrath of the Lord is upon you. This is what happens when the gospel goes forth. The gospel convinces men of sin. It convinces them of the Lord Jesus Christ, our righteousness. Now look what happens next. This is what happens when that preaching goes forth. Then certain of the heads of the children of Ephraim, Azariah, the son of Johan, Berechiah, the son of Meshilamoth, and Jezekiah, the son of Shalem, and Amasa, the son of Hadli, stood up against them that came from the war. He always gathers up some people. And said unto them, ye shall not bring in the captives hither. For whereas we have offended against the Lord already, ye intend to add more to our sins and to our trespass. For our trespass is great, and there is fierce wrath against Israel. So, the armed men left the captives and the spoil before the princes and all the congregation. And the men which were expressed by name rose up and took the captives with the spoil, and clothed all that were naked among them, and arrayed them, and shod them, and gave them to eat and to drink, and anointed them, and carried all the feeble of them upon asses, and brought them to Jericho, the city of palm trees, to their brethren. And then they returned to Samaria. Now the Lord said, Isaiah, you just go preach. You're going to come into contact with fellows like Ahaz. They're going to be scared to death of enemies that don't amount to anything that I'm going to save my people from. But I'm going to show you right here now. Go down there to Ahaz and watch how he won't believe you. But go down there and declare Christ my son to him, and that in this holy seed I'm going to save a remnant. And while you're down there preaching to him, I'll save this 200,000 people that he's carried that has been carried captive by these enemies, and I'll deliver them back to their home, just so you can say, see this boy whose name the remnant shall return before he ever gets old enough to even know the good from the evil. Just like God's promised you in Christ, he's going to deliver his people. He's going to deliver his people. And there'll be some who hears this word and they'll say, I don't believe it. It'll be a savor of death unto death. They'll shut their ears to it. They'll be dull of hearing. Their heart will swell up in pride at their self-righteousness, and they'll go on their way. That's what the Lord said would happen. But there'll be some that will hear it. And they'll hear it by the Spirit of God's grace, by the Holy Spirit working irresistibly in their hearts. And they'll see their sin. They'll see their rebellion. And they'll call out on Christ Jesus, our Emmanuel, God with us. And he'll feed them with that same butter and honey that he is. And they'll be delighted. They'll be thrilled with the fatness thereof. And he says, in doing so, I'll bring the remnant to myself. They'll come to me. Look over to Isaiah 45:20 and we'll be done. Here's the Lord's word to that remnant that was carried away. Are you part of that remnant that was carried away? Are you looking for an earthly kingdom, an earthly tabernacle? That's not what the Lord said they're going to come to. Look now. Isaiah 45:20. Assemble yourselves and come. Draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. This is the remnant he's talking to. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray to unto a God that cannot say. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord? And there's no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Now look, here's what it said. Look under that land over there in Israel. Look under that earthly city named Jerusalem. I'm going to draw everybody to that place, to that land, to that dirt. No, he says, verse 22, look unto me, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I have sworn by myself. That's what he told Isaiah to say. Isaiah, tell him, here's the sign. I'm going to take human flesh. There's the sign. There's my word. I've sworn by myself. I'm going to do this thing. The word's gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return. Shall not return void. That unto me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall swear. And that's going to happen. He going to make us do it now or we're going to do it in judgment. Surely shall one say, in the Lord have our righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come. That's where this remnant's going to return to. And all that are incensed against him shall be ashamed. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified and shall glory. That's all that seed, that remnant out of Israel, and that remnant from among the Gentiles. All the nations of the earth shall be blessed, Abraham, in Christ thy seed. They're my Israel. They're my chosen people. And to show you how great my power is to save, I'm going to make a temporal nation called Israel and use them as an illustration to show you just how powerfully I save. And that's what God did. Now, if God could do all that, if he could do all that, just his sovereign power to orchestrate those nations, to show Isaiah how successful and triumphant he would be in preaching this word. Do you not think, after he's given his own son, who purged the sin of his people, do you think there is one that his hand is short that it can't save? You think there's one that he can't establish in righteousness and in truth? If you will believe, you shall be established. The holy seed and the leafless tree.